It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Greg Jarrett.
I'm Sandra Smith.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, January 25th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. People from all over the world are coming in across our southern border these days, many of them getting through no problem, some even being bused to big cities and put up for free in fancy hotels. Not Abdul Wasi Safi, though. This American-trained Afghan soldier made his way through Brazil, finally got to the U.S. border, and was promptly arrested. Charges were finally dropped against him on Wednesday, but this story puts a spotlight back on how the United States pulled out of Afghanistan and all the problems that have popped up since.
Abdul Safi, he's an example of someone who legitimately would have been targeted to be killed by the Taliban and had to flee the country.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Afghanistan is now firmly in control of the Taliban, which has turned the country into a mess, especially when it comes to human rights and especially so for women. The U.S. tried to negotiate with the Taliban and then quickly left Afghanistan in the summer of 2021. In doing so, have we turned our back on those who tried to help us while at the same time setting up a very dangerous future?
The administration, current administration, made a catastrophic error, in my opinion, to even withdraw from Afghanistan, which is not a popular opinion.
We're speaking today with Chad Robichaux, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, author of Saving Aziz, How the Mission to Help One Became a Calling to Rescue Thousands from the Taliban. He's got all sorts of experience from a former Force Recon Marine, Department of Defense contractor, made 8 deployments to Afghanistan as well.
Because the American people have really been lied to say that we were in this 20-year war or endless war. The fact is, in 2018, we shifted from a conventional warfare with the Taliban to a support and advisor role of the Afghan National Army. We had 2,500 to 4,500 troops there at one time in the last few years, working with the our international partners from around the world, and we were supporting and advising the Afghan National Army, who was successfully keeping the Taliban at bay in the mountains of Afghanistan. You know, Bagram Air Force Base is the most strategic place in the globe, today's current world, between Iraq, Iran, Russia, and China. And our White House gave it away without negotiating with our international partners, without negotiating with Afghan government that we spent 40 years putting in place, only talking to the Taliban, the enemy, and all in this lie that we had to exit this war. And, you know, historically, that's not consistent with how we have been successful militarily in our history of our country. We still have 80,000 troops in Japan and 40,000 in Germany and 35,000 in South Korea. And so this scenario, why I said that in the beginning, it created a situation that made the world a much more dangerous place. It impacted national security of America, and it abandoned not only our allies, but we left, in my opinion, well over 1,000 Americans behind. So, and not to mention our $85 billion in equipment. And so in the aftermath of that, you have the Taliban leading that country with 40 million Afghans there. 20 million women, little girls are being sexually enslaved and lost all of their human rights. And then 75,000 of our allies who are left behind, those who fought with us for 20 years, who believed in freedom, fought for freedom, died defending freedom for America, and were contractually promised a path to citizenship in the United States, them and their family members, which would be 300,000, over 300,000. And we haven't taken responsibility for that. So it's no wonder, you know, people are not only being persecuted and killed for their service to our country, but it's no wonder people are fleeing, trying to make their way to the United States to seek asylum because, you know, we created a scenario that where they it's life or death for them.
Right.
Literally.
And a lot of these people that you're mentioning actually fought side by side with American troops during this war, and many of them served as interpreters or in other roles. Fox News has covered the story of Abdul Wasi Safi. He was an American-trained Afghan soldier who actually tried to get back to the United States following the U.S. pullout of Afghanistan, but was caught crossing the southern border. Since then, he's reportedly been treated very poorly in prison. Can you talk about this story just a little bit and how it might reflect similar things that have been going on with others?
Yeah, Abdul Safi, he's an example of someone who legitimately would have been target to be killed by the Taliban and had to flee the country. And he fled Afghanistan. He was an Afghan trained commando, which is their special operations, served side by side with our special forces. So our American special forces team members were helping Abdul navigate his way across the globe through 10 countries, making it to Brazil and eventually up to our southern border, where he crossed seeking asylum, legitimate asylum seeker, because he definitely would have been killed for his service to America. He was seeking asylum. He comes across the border in a group of about 100 people from all over South America. And everyone gets detained, and he's the only one that gets arrested and put in jail. And he's charged while he's seeking asylum. He's charged for illegal entering the United States. And it took so much pressure. My foundation, Mighty Oaks Foundation, the Independence Fund, lots of other organizations all signed an open letter to the president. Sarah Rotto, amazing lady who I've become close friends with, she really led the charge on this to make sure that this got front and center to the White House, and the president would have to acknowledge that, hey, we send this guy back, he's going to be killed. They told him during the arrest he needed to contact his consulate. The consulate is the Taliban who he's seeking asylum from. And so thankfully we got enough public pressure. I mean, you know, Fox News helped us get this public pressure out, and they had to back down and remove these charges. But this is the position of the White House, and it's been horrific to watch them, you know, not only turn their backs on our allies, but and having left American people behind in Afghanistan, but doing just such an inhumane thing to the Afghan people. I mean, these poor women in Afghanistan, and these little girls, I mean, they've already been being sold at 9 years old and 11 years old to 50-year-old men as war trophies. They've put back to Sharia law, where they're having to be, you know, not be out in public or expose themselves, any of their skin. They're not allowed to have schools and education anymore. Now medical care, they don't have any medical care because the Taliban forbids them to see male doctors. But they can't be, but as females, they can't be trained to be doctors, and they are not allowed to be doctors. So there's no healthcare there. It's just horrific. And this is Abdul Safi is one example of the catastrophe that we left behind in Afghanistan.
And there's many more just like him as well, Chad. You've got an organization called Save Our Allies, where you're trying to rescue Afghan interpreters and others who may have been left behind or had their backs or had the U.S. government turn their backs on them. Can you talk about how you are getting these people out of Afghanistan, and also just how many of them are there? How much more work do you have to do?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I did find with one of the founders of Save Our Allies, and we, in the early time during the evacuation, we were able to be part of getting 17,000 people out, including my own interpreter, Aziz, which is the book's about saving Aziz. Out of Mission to Save One, turned into calling to get thousands, because we got Aziz and then we got 17,000, which was a miracle of God and an amazing work of a lot of incredible people. But you know, the State Department has successfully shut down all NGO efforts to continue to move people, because you can't just evacuate someone out of a country without somewhere to bring them to. And so we don't have anywhere to bring them to, even if we were able to evacuate them. And so those efforts have been shut down. And while we have gotten 17,000 out, there's still, you know, 40 million people in Afghanistan, 20 million women. There's 75,000 of our SIV qualified applicants, meaning special immigrant visas that they served with our U.S. military, including their family members, which would be qualified for SIV status. 350,000 total that would be qualified for SIV, special immigrant visa status, have been left behind with no path to safety. And we do know that the Taliban is systematically targeting them, persecuting them, and executing them.
Afghanistan is once again in the spotlight after criminal charges were dropped against an American-trained Afghan soldier who attempted to cross the southern border. The alternative was most certainly being killed by the Taliban for ever having been associated with the United States during the war. We're speaking with a man who not only did 8 deployments in Afghanistan, he also worked to get people out of there after the fall of Kabul. Now, Chad Robichaud has a new book out. It's called Saving Aziz, How the Mission to Help One Became a Calling to Rescue Thousands from the Taliban. Chad believes politics may have been chosen over people, and now we're dealing with the terrible realities of those decisions. We'll have much more of this coming up next. We sent our military over there, obviously, to combat terrorism. But we told the Afghan people, hey, here's a government that we're going to help you set up. We're here to protect you. We're going to help you from the Taliban. And all of a sudden, it's like, nope, we're out of here. And whatever the Taliban does to you, sorry, we can't do anything about it. You mentioned earlier in this conversation the U.S. military leaving behind troops in Germany and Japan. Why do you think the U.S. is treating Afghanistan different than other past wars?
You know, there's not a real clear answer to that. President Obama did this, and when he abandoned Al Asad Air Base and left Iraq behind, and the same thing to Iraqi people, and it was catastrophic there as well. Not as bad as Afghanistan, because Afghanistan we did a complete and full withdrawal and did it in a very hasty way that created a lot of problems. I think this is just a political decision to. I think it's a political decision that it was a campaign promise that we were get out of Afghanistan. It was a race between parties who could get out of Afghanistan first. However, I also believe that, you know, it pains me to say this, but there's people in our government that have, you know, personal interest in other countries, and other countries greatly benefited from the United States military leaving Afghanistan, from NATO forces in an international community leaving Afghanistan. China wanted the mineral rights to the Hindu Kush Mountains. People were saying that was conspiracy theory, but we left August 31st and September 1st. China had the Taliban gave China the mineral rights to Hindu Kush Mountains, which is worth trillions of dollars. China has needed oil, and they needed it to get it from the oil that's sanctioned in Iran because it's cheap oil. And they couldn't do it because the U.S. military was in Afghanistan. That's the only thing that sat in between. Now we know that China's getting sanctioned oil from Iran. Everyone wants the Bagram Air Force Base. It's the most strategic place on the globe. Now, it's not the Taliban that occupies Bagram Air Force Base. It's China and Iran.
We're speaking today with Chad Robichaux, who is pulling back the curtain on some of the things we think we know about Afghanistan, but don't. And he's got the experience to back it up as well. You're a former Force Recon Marine and Department of Defense contractor. You went on 8 deployments to Afghanistan. So obviously a lot of cachet in the region. I want to go to your opening take of this podcast and just push back a little bit. You don't believe that the United States should have pulled out of Afghanistan as quickly, but Chad, I mean, the American public was really sick of this war, and obviously we endured so much of it, and you did personally endured so much of it, so many casualties, so much money we threw at it, and it just lasted for so long. I think the general sentiment, and this is bipartisan, is that we needed to get out of Afghanistan. Saying any longer, it just wasn't going anywhere. What alternative ending would you propose? Like, if you were in control, how would you have done it?
Yeah. So that's a great question. I am not a warmonger in any, you know, I've lost a lot of friends over the years in battle. My family has 84 years of service, but served in every war since World War II.
Wow. Absolutely amazing.
Not only did I go to Afghanistan 8 times, my son went to Afghanistan. So I am not interested in being in any wars that we don't need to. However, I think there was just a facade of what the reality was in Afghanistan. At one point, we had 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. We had 2,500 troops in Djibouti, Africa right now. So I think the labeling would have been satisfactory to the American people to say, hey, the war in Afghanistan is over, but we're going to participate with the rest of the international community and maintain a contingency with the rest of the world in Afghanistan at Bagram Air Force Base. That base should have not been in the possession of the United States anymore. It should have been turned over to the international community to support and advise the Afghan National Army and let them continue to fight that war. That's what really was happening. And it was a lot of optics in politics to say they were in this endless war. It could have been relabeled, restructured, and done in a way to keep a small contingent force to keep us out of war. The reason we keep those contingents and presences around the world is not to go to war or not to be continued to engage in endless wars. It's to keep us from going to war. When you vacate and create vacuums of power like this, it only creates more opportunity to be forced into a bigger war later. And so I say that not to say that we should continue being engaged in these wars. I say that in a way that I look long term and say I want us to be out of wars and prevent us from being engaged in future wars.
Pretty strong take there, Chad Robichaux. We really appreciate not only your insight on this issue and the fact that you're bringing it to light with the people that you've evacuated out of Afghanistan, but I think more than anything, you and your family's service to this country, absolutely fantastic stuff. We can tell that you're very passionate about it, and we appreciate everything that you've done for all of us, and including being on this podcast, Fox News Rundown Evening Edition. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.